When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Nikki Sebastian. Hey, Nikki.
Woo. Hey.
Yes, I'm very excited to pick your brain about all the things that you're so good at. But before we get there, do you mind introducing ourselves to our listeners who may not know who you are? Give us a background on how you got into photography.
Sure. So as Chris mentioned, I'm Nikki Sebastian. I am a Los Angeles-based film photographer who specializes in families, commercial, editorial, a little bit of weddings with my buddy Max. We can talk about that later.
And I
got into photography from a very young age. I was very taken with the visual arts realm as a whole. I've always been an artist per se, just dabbling in different mediums. I think my first experience with a actual camera and like portrait session was when we had a snow day. I think I was in middle school, and I invited all my friends over within walkable distance to come, and
wow.
I hung a comforter from my ceiling.
Oh wow.
As a backdrop, and I had props, and everyone could pick their own props, and I had a black and white film disposable camera, and I did portraits of my friends, and I still have the
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
You know, getting the double prints from CVS. And
Yeah, double prints.
yep. And then from that point on, I was hooked. And then I went to college to study biochemistry in pre-med. And that didn't pan out.
Very different.
Yeah. I realized I was very squeamish and not. I was not cut out for the medical field. So I switched in my junior year to visual art with a focus in painting and photography. And that's where I really like honed my craft and dove into the world of film. And I bought a camera. My dad got me a camera from a pawn shop. And that was my first like real film camera that wasn't like a disposable. And then from then on, the story kind of takes some twists and turns. I moved to New York to teach kindergarten, second grade.
Oh, wow.
And at an all-girls school, which was such a blast.
Yeah.
But also very tiring. I was only 22, 23 at the time. And I went back to school for arts administration in New York, and then worked in the art world for years. I was at the Guggenheim Mendia Art Foundation, marketing other people's art and shooting on the side kind of here and there.
Yeah.
But then, you know, after some years in the nonprofit art world, I decided to jump into the world of freelance and take the leap. And it's been about 11 years since I took the risk. Mm. And here we are.
Wow.
So yeah, I started in New York, and then my husband and I moved to LA when my oldest was three, and then we had our second daughter out here, and I kind of had to start my business over at a time when I felt like I really got my feet planted in the New York photography world.
That's tough. Yeah,
that's like starting. Yeah. That's like even just as scary.
Yeah, it was a big transition for many reasons, but just moving out here, not knowing anyone, was pretty daunting. But I'm an entrepreneurial like kind of gal by nature. So, and I've just been hustling since a very early age. So I'm always down to cold call and just put my face in front of people.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out. Yeah.
Man, very cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, that's inspiring, especially like the cold calling thing. That's hard.
I'm terrible at that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did it too, and it's like you just kind of hold your breath and you're like, all right, silent.
Yeah. No, my background in the PR marketing world and the art world is definitely helpful in that sense. So I kind of, you know, pick and choose different experiences from different careers. I've worn so many hats, and it all kind of comes together in my current state, you know, as with family photography and teaching kids.
Yeah.
In my 20s, and I'm able to kind of pick and choose and really put together a career that makes sense and it kind of feels like full circle.
Yeah.
Like I am exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
So when you came out here and like relaunched the business, were you like, okay, because I love that, I mean, your work as a whole, it all feels very, you know, when you look at it, like that's Nikki, like I could tell, like whether it's your commercial work or your family stuff, but did you come out, like, did you have like, okay, I'm going to do family photographer, or were you like, oh, I want to do like brands and stuff? Or were you like, was it organically kind of turn into two different things? Or were you like, how do you decide like what lane
yeah,
to go in?
That's a great question. I feel like it's still shifting to this day, but families have always been my sort of bread and butter.
Yeah.
I love the freedom. I love meeting new people constantly. I love just getting down on the kids' level and meeting them where they're at and being silly and ridiculous and just having a vision in my head and sort of taking it all very like flying by the seat of my pants and sort of that organic nature. But then with the commercial stuff, I also love being a part of the creative briefs and then executing a vision of the client and being a little more exact about things. Also leaving room for the organic stuff too. But it's nice to kind of have my foot in both camps because it keeps me on my toes. So I knew that I didn't want to just pigeonhole myself in one type of photography because I feel like there's so much to gain from each style. Right. I know some people are very, like purists and they want to just focus on one genre per se, but I find that I also get bored easily and I like to just keep challenging myself, and I feel like the mix is really keeps me growing as an artist as well. So I kind of always saw myself as like a multi-focused photographer for sure.
So was it the same type of work in New York as you're doing here, or did you just totally start doing something new once you got to California?
Yeah, it was I was definitely shooting mostly families in New York and some commercial and editorial. I really got started in the commercial and editorial world when I started shooting for Joanna Goddard, Cup of Joe. She's like one of the OG bloggers, and she I just submitted my portfolio, and she gave me a chance, and then we became, you know, really close, just from a working relationship and a friendship standpoint. And that was like, she just helped launch my career in New York, and then also helped me make the transition to LA. And she's just been so generous in terms of her support for my craft, which has been amazing. And it's just grown exponentially through word of mouth. So that's really, and Instagram, of course, but that's, I've just been kind of riding the wave ever since. And when I came out to LA, you know, I was still doing a lot of the work I was doing in New York, but it was all digital. I really didn't switch to film until, let's see, I guess 2021.
No way.
So I thought
for sure you were going to say like 2012. Wow.
Yeah. No, it was pretty recent. My life took a huge turn in 2021 in April when I was diagnosed with leukemia, which this is where it gets a little dark, but it's part of my story. So yeah, I was out of the blue, was diagnosed with blood cancer. And then, I was really just like grinding in such a way with work that I was just so burnt out. Mm. And it was also peak COVID, and I decided to just get a physical and see, you know, it had been a couple years and they kind of found it out of the blue. And so I was at that point, I was plucked out of my life and basically moved into the hospital because you have to stay for 30 plus days at a time while you undergo each round of chemo.
Wow.
Because they have to wipe out your white blood cells or your neutrophils. I won't get into this isn't a medical podcast, so I won't get into the nitty gritty in that respect. But anyhow, the short answer is my switch to film kind of happened at that point in my life where I had a lot of time to think. And in the hospital, I mean, there was really nothing to do. I wasn't allowed to leave the ward for a month plus at a time. And I had to do 3 big rounds of chemo. So, you know, I couldn't see my kids. And my husband was my one guest, my one visitor that was by my side every day. But I just told myself, you know, if I make it out of this and if I survive and I get to go back to work and doing what I love, I want to change things. I want to change the way I work just because digital became such a grind. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was just like shooting and editing to an unsustainable degree. Yeah. And really like lost the love of the craft through it all, because it's just, you know, the amount of images from every shoot and the amount of culling, and it was so much computer time, and it just didn't feel like photography anymore to me as much. You know, I still do shoot digital and hybrid for some commercial shoots that have budgets, you know, that have limited budgets. But anyhow, in the hospital, I was like, if I make it out of here and I get to work again, I'm just switching to film and I'm going to just put it out there. And if people respond to that, great. And those are my people. And if people don't feel like they connect with it, also great. Like, there's a photographer for everyone. And that doesn't necessarily have to be me. But this is, I just felt such a strong pull to changing mediums. And that's kind of what I did. My friends actually pulled together and bought me a film camera, just like a little Contax T2 when I was in the hospital. Yeah. And it was a while before I picked it up. But while I was undergoing chemo, I actually found that like photographing myself and kind of taking myself out of my body and like looking at myself from a third party standpoint was kind of helpful in processing what was happening and creating art out of it. Right. So I did a lot of like self portraits and photographs, like film photos of my wig like lying on the bed and my hospital like nightstand, and it's really hard to look at those photos right now, but I knew that I wanted them for a reason, and they really just encapsulated a moment in time that was really significant to me. And at that, it just changed my whole viewpoint, because it slowed me down.
Yeah.
And I realized like this is the type of work I need to be doing. Like I want a slower pace.
Yeah.
I want more time with my kids. I don't want to be on set for 12-hour days as much. I mean, I'll totally do the big shoots, but film just kind of calmed everything. I just feel like it's just a calmer medium. I'm just more careful. I'm learning so much all over again. I feel like digital became like I was kind of just doing it with both hands behind my back and wasn't really challenging myself like I should. So I made it out, and I'm here.
Yay.
Which, knock on wood, three years intermission, which was awesome. And I'm back to work, and people responded so enthusiastically, you know. And also there's people that either don't get it, don't care to get it, can't afford it, whatever. I totally understand that. It's not for everyone. But I've met so many new people as a result, and I've really found I'm just carving a new path in my career, which is so exciting, because it feels like I've turned over a totally new leaf. Like, I don't feel like the same person.
Wow.
I don't feel like the same artist. I've really like, my whole system was gutted, and I've grown back from the ashes, and I'm doing things the way I want to be doing things, and spending my time exactly how I want to be spending it, because I've learned the hard way that life is so precious. Yep. And there's no sense in doing work that you just don't feel 1,000% about. Like, you just don't, if your heart's not in it, then why do it?
Right.
Unfortunately, I had to learn that lesson in a really shitty way.
Mm. Yeah.
But the lesson's there, and it's such a silver lining that
totally.
It taught me a lot about appreciating every minute, including what I'm doing for my livelihood.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, sorry, that was a lot.
No.
That's great.
I was like,
well, not great, but it great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I want to ask all the questions about, like, I'm such a fan, and
she
you were someone
too.
Came
can,
to
can,
me.
Can,
yeah, you came to me as like a word of mouth.
Thank you.
As I had no idea you were out there until somebody said, "Oh, you should have Nikki, shoot your stuff." And when I pulled it up, I was like, "That's my girl." My girl. I was like, yes. And it's one of those things where you have to convince people, like, this is what we always ask this question, people who are like, come to the table primarily shooting film, and like, in this day and age, you have to like explain it, or like, do they get it? Especially with like the commercial stuff, do you find that you have to be like, okay, this is this budget because of this, and this is why, or are they now, it's 2024 and like more people are shooting film and they kind of are understanding that's the thing?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I definitely have to push for it.
Yeah.
And I think, in 2024, there's a lot of budget cuts happening, and things are, it's not what it was even a year ago.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but it's such as the times, and such are the times. And, I push as hard as I can without making people feel uncomfortable financially.
Right.
But I generally do a hybrid now for commercial stuff. If anything, it's rare that I do an all film shoot, unless it's like on a smaller scale.
Right.
For commercial purposes, because I think the clients need to see that you're getting the shots, and it's hard for them to give you like full trust, but I do have people that I work for, that I've worked for years, that know my work. They know me as a person, and they'll give me that freedom to shoot all film. But it's pretty rare now, just because of budgetary concerns,
right?
Which is a bummer, but it is what it is.
Do you find when you're doing hybrid in that world, because even like when I try to go hybrid, I still find myself shooting more digital, because like I can show it to them and they're excited, da da da. And then I'm like, oh well, I know it's working, so I'm gonna keep going. And then I like will shoot. Okay, I'll shoot like a couple. And then I shot this proposal a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I got the I shot like half a roll of film. It was a proposal. It was quick. We did like a little engagement stuff after. But then I was like, why did I do that? Like, why did I just like do it?
Totally. I find that. Especially because a lot of my commercial work is kid focused. Mm. It's like you only have a certain amount of time with kids before they lose interest, or they're running off. Or so it's like, it's really hard to do hybrid for that reason. So usually I'm shooting mostly digital, because that I have them in that moment. And then by the time I switch over to my film camera, I've lost them.
Right,
so it's really hard. But then I do find the small percentage of film shots that I get, I see companies use those shots the most. Like, those are the ones that they end up loving. Or I'll like, between shots on the shot list, I'll grab my film camera and just kind of play around and get like a little behind the scenes, and I'll get a little grittier and just kind of be a little freer and kind of go rogue off the shot list. And still, those are the ones that they end up using as like ads on Instagram, which I try to remind people of. Okay, you responded best to the film version, so maybe let's prioritize. But it's hard. It's really hard to go back and forth.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not the only one, at least. I feel better.
Totally. But, with family stuff, I only shoot film.
Yeah.
So I don't even, I bring all my cameras as backups just in case anything happens to any of them. But I don't even give families the option anymore, because it's like you only have the kids for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And their attention is so short-lived. So then it's all film, and that's helpful. And I bake that into my pricing. So, it's a little more of a premium that they're paying, but the families that pay, that they get it and they love the style and they love the look and feel and the sort of timeless nature of it all. And I think that, you know, those are the ones, like the film photos of families, of the chaotic scenes and the kids being kids, that you want to blow up and put in frames. Right. Like, I just find that. And also the families, you know, the moms appreciate it because it's like that natural filter. Yeah. They're like, okay, yeah, I don't exactly. want like a high res.
Uh-huh. Yeah, especially I was postpartum too. I was like, I'm
totally
for that
sharp.
Film
no,
glow,
no.
The film glow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't need like a super high res image of like the bags under my
no.
eyes. You know,
uh-huh. thank you. Uh-huh. No, thank you.
Yeah,
and I will
yeah.
tell you, I go back. I mean, you did such a wonderful job for our family. When I sent them out to my mother, I called her and I was like, "Are you crying?" She's like, "They're just so beautiful."
Of course,
you made my mom fully cry. Like, so thank you.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
that means so much to hear. I mean, if I can get tears as a result, yeah. like happy ones,
yeah,
like, then I've done something right. Yeah, I also find that, you know, with the lighting situation, because you can't always shoot at golden hour because yeah. kids are, it's close to dinner time, it's close to bedtime. So you kind of have to get them like post nap mm-hmm. or when they're fresh in the morning. Mm-hmm. So it really, film is great for like any time of day. It's like captures, you know, there's so much information, the highlights and the shadows versus digital, which can get really mm-hmm. harsh. I feel like film kind of softens everything, and it's really great for parents who need to work around their kids' schedules versus the schedule of the son, which yeah. is, it's not always feasible.
Totally.
Yeah.
Was it a little scary when you were transitioning into film, going into this stuff? Or, I mean, you have kids, so chasing them around with a film camera is probably something you do as a regular. So I'm sure it wasn't that crazy to put all your eggs in the film basket.
Yeah, that's actually a great question, because my kids are my toughest clients.
Yeah.
They hate being in front of my camera. It's like, that's mom working mode. They have no interest. I mean, the stakes now that I have to bribe them with for any sort of photo, even if it's like, okay, we need to take a photo for, like, we need a photo to send to the grandparents for, you know, Mother's Day or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or a birthday. Like, I want to like frame something nice. And it's like, they're like, all right, that'll be X amount of dollars. I'm like, what? No, this should be out of the goodness of your heart. Like, your mom's a photographer. This is like, you don't
That's
understand
great.
How lucky you are.
And yeah.
It's so with them, I didn't get a whole lot of practice because they're just not, they're not interested in
not
being my
it.
Guinea pigs.
Nope.
No. And I don't want to force them because that just backfires. And then we're all miserable.
Right,
it's not
right,
like I can.
Right.
It's not like the shoot wraps and we're done. Like, I live with these
yeah.
people.
We're still together.
Yeah. Like, I don't want them to see me as like the mom that's like constantly forcing them to do things they don't want to do.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I kind of just let that go.
Mm.
So yeah, all my practice kind of comes in the form of like just going for it and hoping for the best. And I guess you could say it was scary at first, but after going through what I went through, my version of scary is I don't have a lot
right.
of fear about
right.
things other than cancer. Like, that's still
right.
like
yeah.
my biggest fear.
Right.
And it's that anxiety is out of control and it will be for a long time,
right.
probably forever. No, my biggest fear is relapse, recurrence, whatever. And, you know, terminal illness. But then everything else in life is like just has melted away. Any
wow.
sort of anxiety,
wow.
any sort of risk taking, it's actually bizarre. I mean, I used to be terrified of flying, scared of confrontation, scared, you know, things
wow.
like,
yeah.
And it's kind of wild how it just, things just kind of disappear after you get a second chance. It's
yeah.
like, all right, we're gonna go for this. And I've become like an optimist in a lot of different ways. It's some existential stuff that has happened as a result, but you know, this again, the silver lining is that I don't have a lot of anxiety or worries or what ifs around my work anymore.
Wow.
It's just and I can fully pour myself into it and be fully present and
wow.
appreciative of every opportunity, of every gig, and I'm not thinking the what if. I just,
yeah.
The what ifs come in other parts of my life.
I mean, that's hugely inspiring, especially for people who are like, we talk about like leaving the day job or like taking the risk of like doing the specific kind of photography you want, or like doing it how you want to do it, you know, like switching the film is like, okay, that's scary. I'm gonna have to like redo my whole thing. To just have that mindset, it's unfortunate what you had to go through to get there. But people who haven't or don't have to go through that, just to listen to your words now and say like, you can take that and your story and just be like, okay, life is short. I'm going to do it for me now. Like I'm going to, you know, and it really is like, at the end of the day, is it that scary to you know, take the leap? No, like, oh, what's the worst that can happen? You get a couple no's. Like when you get the yes, it makes it all much more worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you can always, there's always a possibility for more pivoting, you know, you just pivot in another direction. Right. There's always, I just feel like if you look hard enough, there's always a landing pad somewhere,
right,
whether it's, you know, your chosen path or a plan B or plan C. It's not, it's not, you're not risking your life. Yeah, it's not something where it's not a life or death situation.
No.
Like photography, it should be 99% joy. I mean, it's, you're capturing.
That's crazy.
People's like most important moments.
100%.
Yeah, it's just wild that we put all this stress and pressure on ourselves about this stuff when it doesn't have to be like that. We just have to let go and go for it. You know, why not? Why not just take the chance or take the jump to do? I mean, you got to try. We only get so much time, you know, we only get so much time to do this stuff.
Absolutely.
And in that time too, you're only at like a physical, I mean, unless you're like one of those people that's like, you know, 90 running marathons and stuff like that. I don't see myself being that person, unfortunately, but you only got so much mobility in life. So you really got to take advantage of the time you got.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's totally worth taking the leap and just seeing where it goes. And if you can find the self-confidence and the trust in your own vision and your practice and your experience, you're going to come up with something that's, you know, viable, and that's something you'll be proud of, I feel like. And film's the best for that. Like, even the happy accidents are you know, plentiful, which is like part of the reason I love it so much.
Yeah.
There's so much that comes out of it that you did not plan for.
Right.
And you have to kind of shift your perspective, like, oh, this is actually kind of better than what I had in my head when I was shooting this particular shot or whatever. And then you just got to convince the client.
Right.
But
You just have to. Yeah. That's where the PR part comes in. And you can talk the talk and, you know, tell them it's art. It's just art.
Right. Yep. So you mentioned in the beginning you're entrepreneurial, and I wanted to talk to you about some of your ventures that you have. One of the ones I think is really awesome is your motherhood portraits, your pop-ups. Can you talk about those? Because I can't wait to sign up.
Yeah, I mean, that came out of necessity, really. That started when I was still a digital photographer years ago. But I was a young mom. I had a little one, and no shade to my husband. He's a great partner and documenter, but it's not always his like top priority, and he's not a photographer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, capturing the moment it's just not on his radar usually.
Right.
So,
same with mine.
Yeah, exactly. And being a mom and a photographer, there's like very little proof of my existence.
Right.
You know, it's all my husband and my kids.
Yeah, I was thinking even the videos I take, it's like my voice is there. You know, I'm like, all their home movies is going to be like, I'm an ominous like voice that is heard, but
the
never
ghost
in,
of mom.
In any of them.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So yeah, that was just out of a selfish desire to have myself in the frame more. I mean, even though I wasn't turning the camera on myself, it was like, mm-hmm, to give moms that opportunity to be in the frame and just sort of, and also get past their own insecurities. I know. So I know I'm grossly generalizing. I don't want to speak for all moms, but in general, a lot of the moms that I photograph, they're just not used to being in front of the camera because they're always the ones documenting, and they have their insecurities, and they're like, oh, you know, just focus on the kids, or oh, I you know, whatever, I'm looking too tired or whatever. And it's like, but then you look back on these images and they're just like the most treasured physical remnants of every era of your life. And that became so important after I got sick. I mean, like, photos were everything. That was mm-hmm. the only thing I had in the hospital that right. I could, that gave me comfort and strength. Like we plastered my walls like a college dorm room with photos. I mean, my husband helped do a whole collage of all my photos of friends and family and me and my girls and our family. And I was like, oh my God, it was like that moment where I was like, this is all that matters. Right. I mean, to have these memories and then to have the hope of being back with these people that I'm looking at on my walls every day going through treatment. And that ephemera, I'm like, this is my purpose in life.
Right.
Moving forward.
Wow.
It could not be more clear. Like I need to be the one, I need to be someone who's creating that ephemera for other people because it's so hugely important. And it's what you pass on. It's like the only thing left when we leave. You know, there's oral history and there's stories and things like that. But just to have photos of I can't think of anything more important that I would grab in case of fire.
Right,
you know, like
right.
my hard drives, my albums,
right.
my binders of film. You know, yeah. I just that would be it.
Yeah.
My cats.
yep, same here.
Yeah.
So how does it work? It's are they you rent a space, right? And you have a limited number of spots or what? Like, take us through what it.
Yeah. So I rent out a studio. I usually shoot at a studio that I've shot at a ton of times downtown. It's natural light. It's 15 minutes in front of the camera. I find that kids the first 10 minutes of any session is when you get the best shots. And then the breakdown of family sessions, it's also on like later in the session, if we're talking full sessions, then the kids are more used to you. But I find that, you know, kids come in, they come in hot, they don't realize what's happening.
Yeah.
You can get everything you need in the first 10 to 15 minutes. And then they realize, oh, well, this is a photo shoot, and then they usually break down and they're done, you know? So it's like the perfect amount of time. And then I offered it just for moms, just because there was just no space for just moms and kids. Mm-hmm. And I find that, you know, in family sessions, the moms want to push the husbands or their partners in front of the camera and sort of hide or just, you know, have it just be the kids. But it was an opportunity for moms to get out of their comfort zones as well and just get some like really simple, classic white backdrop film. Well, I switched to film photos, and it's like you get 15 to 20 high-res shots and it's totally painless. Dare I say, even fun.
Yeah.
We have music playing. There's bubbles. There's snacks. There's, you know, you keep the energy alive. And it's just, it's so fast paced. And again, going back to the point I made about like keeping me on my toes, it's a totally different style of photography.
Because
you know, you have such a, it's so compressed.
Right.
And I schedule back to back to back. And I usually do between like 10, even 15, 20. I'm working my way up. My energy is coming back now that I finished treatment. So I'm able to take on a little more at a time. But it's so fun to just have like back-to-back families come in and so many different personalities and having to shift, meeting these kids and responding to them. It's so fast-paced. The day goes by so quickly, but it's such a, for me, it's like the most bang for your buck, like in terms of like the reward for me as a photographer. It's like, I'm giving all these moms
it's so
an
beautiful
opportunity to shine and have, you know, a proof of their existence.
I love it. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
I was just gonna say, how often do you do them?
I would say probably like once a season. I'm going to try to do more. I would love to take them on the road. I'm traveling a little more.
Yeah.
I finished maintenance chemo in March, so my energy reserves are getting better. So I'm able to I have more stamina because I'm just like still baby steps. I mean, it's been 3 years, but it's taken its toll.
Yeah.
But I would love to do them more often and take them to other cities. So that's sort of my goal in the near future, is to travel and do them in other places.
Sounds
fun. How fun.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, I kind of wanted to go back just a little bit to the beginning of the story of were your parents, like, did you grow up in like an artistic household, or was it just kind of you were drawn to art type thing? I always like to get the background as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, my dad's a musician.
Okay.
He's a guitar player and a guitar teacher and totally self-taught. And he's been doing this for 50 years.
Wow, that's cool.
So he's self-employed and a creative. You know, he's a creative at heart.
Yeah.
So while I did have the music part of things, but didn't pursue that as a career, I do find that we're sort of like-minded in that way. Mm. He's very entrepreneurial and has always worked for himself. And my mom's so talented when it comes to making art. She just has a natural ability when it comes to drawing. And I've just seen her growing up, seeing her make things just so effortlessly. So I feel like I have kind of both of their innate abilities. But then I took it to another degree, you know, just pursuing photography. Neither of them are photographers, but that was sort of my medium of choice. But I would love to go back to painting. I did, you know, that's what I focused on in college. So maybe someday, but with little kids, well, my kids are getting a little older.
Yeah.
Oil paint doesn't feel as feasible.
No.
Right.
Yeah,
I just always get curious about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And my parents were always, I mean, just supportive of whatever I wanted to pursue. I think
that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad just kind of, you know, encouraged me to find something that I could do on a daily basis and get paid for that I truly cherished. And I hopped around at a lot of jobs and I found aspects of each job that spoke to me, but nothing like photography. Like my kids asked me the other day, if you had $1 billion and you didn't have to work, would you still do this job? And it was a great question. I was like, absolutely. I would. I 100% same. Would. I would still be taking pictures.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. I mean, yes, it's nice to buy groceries with I get from these shoots.
Yeah.
That's a nice perk. Be able to feed my children, but if money were no object, I'd still be doing this.
It's funny that you say that, because it's like, people are like, oh, Chris, what are your hobbies? I'm like, photography. Same as my job. Like that's
totally.
It. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I thought about that the other day. That's so funny you mentioned that. I was like writing my bio for my new website, and I was like, yeah, I don't have much else to say. Like, I make photos. That's what I do. And then I don't know. I make dinner. What else occupies my day? Laundry.
Yeah.
Laundry expert. I mean,
yep. So good. So good at folding.
So on that note, do you do a lot of personal stuff, or are you strictly like a work-based photographer?
Such a good question. I would love to do more personal stuff. I just don't have the bandwidth right now. I have one of the guys at my film lab, his name's Alan. He's the best. Every time I drop off film, he's like, have you started that personal project yet?
Yes, Alan. Like, good job.
I like have my head hung. I'm sorry, Alan, I haven't. But he's like, he's been pushing me, like, just shoot for you. You gotta do that. But to be honest, like, the family sessions feel very personal. A lot of them are my friends, my mom friends and their kids, and it feels, and I'm able to just shoot how I wanna shoot. And the families that hire me fully, I mean, I feel so lucky, and like, it's like a pinch me moment. Like, they fully trust me to use my own vision and my own abilities. And there's no like stepping in and art directing. They just like, do you. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be pleased with the result, but it's really, that feels personal. It's like, feels like personal
makes
work,
sense.
But I would love to do more stuff. I would love to shoot more with my kids, but they're just not in a state right now that they're into it. Maybe that'll change. You know, they're both, kids change with the wind, and they're constantly shifting. Yeah. But right now they're not feeling it, which is okay. But I like to say they're my muses. It's so fun to just, when they're in the mood, in the rare instance, like I love photographing them, because especially when they were littler and like super uninhibited, the little the little littles are like the sweet spot when they just have no idea, like no self-awareness.
Right, right.
But yeah, hopefully the personal work will come. That's definitely a goal of mine for sure. Yeah.
And you have a new venture I saw, right? You just launched a couple days ago?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So Max Wanger, I'm sure you know him. He's an incredible photographer. He's been my inspiration for, years and years since before I moved to LA. I mean, I knew of his work. Joanna or Cup of Joe posted his work when he was starting out or in weddings. And it was just so groundbreaking at the time, like these images of, you know, lots of void space, little subjects that were like teeny tiny.
Yeah.
But his images were so, so impactful, but also so quiet and subtle too. Mm. I mean, he has like a way of capturing subtlety, but also making it big. It's unbelievable. So anyhow, I could go on and on and just like sing his praises until I'm blue in the face. But he was my first introduction to like how to make photography a career and how to step out of the box and make it your own. Just figure out ways to present subject matter in a way that speaks to you, and it's so truly yours. You can spot a Max Wanger image from a mile away. So when I saw his work, I was like, oh, that's what I want to do as a career, and I want to, and maybe someday I'll meet him and I can tell him what it meant to me to see his work. And he's always just been on my radar. And we moved to LA and we did, you know, family sessions with him. And I was just like so starstruck the whole time. Like, oh my God. And then he asked me to photograph his family one day. And I was like, you have the wrong Nikki, Sebastian. I had such like imposter syndrome. And like I was like, there's no way like that. I was like, what is even happening?
Wow.
And then over the years, we became family friends, and we were just so respectful of each other's craft. And we have very different perspectives and very different ways of working, but I think it's so complementary. And we had this idea to bring it together. And I used to shoot weddings 10 years ago back in New York. So it's been a while. But last year, a friend of a friend, she's now a dear friend, but they asked me to shoot their wedding on all film in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico.
Wow.
And again, I was like, total imposter syndrome. Yeah. Like, what? No, that's not something I could do. But you know, I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute, this makes perfect sense, because I love capturing people and interpersonal relationships and the dynamic between people. And weddings were so fun, and to do them on film, that just changed the whole landscape for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well, let's do it. And it ended up being the biggest challenge, but also the most rewarding experience. Like, oh my God, I basically had like a bag of film strapped to my body the entire time. Like,
wow.
Like, taking it across a border.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I was like, this is so intense. But talk about, I mean, the gratification that came out of that was unreal. So when Max presented the idea, like, hey, we should launch a joint venture where you shoot film, I shoot digital, and we brand it and we create, you know, a cute logo where we can put it on some tote bags and shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, again, it was that moment where like, wait, seriously? Like,
wow.
Me? I feel like I was living out my wildest dream. I still feel that way. So yeah, our dear friend Kelly Harris created the branding and like knocked it out of the park, and we're just going to see where it takes us. You know, I'm still doing families, still doing commercial work.
Yep.
That's still like my main focus, but it's going to be so fun to see where I go with Max. And, you know, maybe we'll do some travel weddings. Ideally, that would be amazing.
How exciting.
Yeah, working alongside of him is just like, I can't think of a better opportunity. It's so cool.
He actually shot my husband's cousin's wedding. I didn't realize until I saw their image pop up on one of your guys' reels. And
wow.
I was like, oh, wow. I was
Small
like,
world.
Wow, that's really cool. And I mean, I've told the story, I think, on the show where I lost a roll of Hasselblad. I loaded the Hasselblad too fast and it, or I think it's user error. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the camera. I don't know. But I like stepped in during their portrait session. I was like, can I just take one, a couple of my houseboats? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. So, but then it like tore in the camera. So it never, I'll never recover from that loss.
Oh, we all have that moment. It's
the worst.
Yep. Still haunts us to this day.
Yeah.
Yep.
The one bad thing about film is like you could, you know, lose the whole, get a blank roll. The blank roll syndrome is like the worst.
Totally. And that's what, that was the fear with weddings. Like I was like, I don't, yeah. I mean, I shot this wedding just all on film by myself. And they had other friends that were photographers that also shot, but I was the main. And I was like, this level of responsibility, like I talk about not having fears. I had some fear.
I had a little scared.
Yeah.
A little scary. But it all worked out. But now I feel very, like, very lucky, very comfortable now that Max, you know, Max is on digital.
Oh, yeah.
Film.
That's nice.
Yeah. Totally.
That's great. So, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. I hope it goes far for you. That's another great idea to
thanks, Chris.
Just because, like, when you try and shoot both, you know, film gets left behind. But now you're to separate it like that is very smart. A team. Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Yep. And we can each sort of focus on our own jobs and then also like dance around each other. I feel like we'll work really well together in terms of, you know, just being able to shoot simultaneously and capturing totally different perspectives.
Love it.
It's a cool idea. Yeah. We'll be right back with listener question for Nikki right after this message from our sponsor.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We also try to have a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Julie Harmson-Fitz. I hope I'm saying that right. And they wanted to know, how does she direct her family clients to get such playful photos? It's a good one.
That's a really good question. Okay, so every session is a little different. I think I really try to respect the organic nature of kids, especially walking, talking kiddos. I really get on their level. I mean, first, even just coming through the door, I'm like down at their level physically, and kind of like say hi to the parents, but it's really all about the kids, like getting them comfortable, you know, having them show me their favorite toy or what they're up to, like what are they coloring, or just really present myself as their equal. I don't want to be towering over them with all this equipment. I feel like that's super intimidating for anyone, especially little ones. And then I pepper in a lot of poop jokes.
Love it.
I have a really good repertoire of scatological humor. Growing up with my dad, who still speaks that language. I mean, it's not for everyone. I do have to apologize to the parents. I'm like, I'm sorry for what's about to come out of my mouth, but I swear it works. And for a certain age range, it's like without fail, it always gets them laughing. And once they like see it, they're like, oh, I see it. You're one of my kind. I got you. Like then they're more willing to just be ridiculous.
Aww.
And I also, there's some direction involved, but also once they get comfortable, kids will just be weird. Like, they'll just be total weirdos. And then I just let them go to town. I really tried to tell parents, like, I get that you want them a certain look and feel, but it's too much orchestration will backfire. And we just have to let them, like, be exactly who they are in this moment. And that's what you want to remember anyhow. Right. It's like, you'll want photos for the grandparents, like where everyone's in the frame and looking at the camera. And we do get those. I do those right off the bat, like the full group shot. I try to get everyone again before the kids realize what's happening, when everyone's feeling fresh. And then we get silly. And then, like, they're like rolling around in the grass, or they're just making weird faces, or like, watch how high I can jump, or watch this trick, check this out. And I'm like, amazing. Do that again. Yes, do that again. You know, it's like, and I really try to make it all about the kids. It's like every family session is kid focused, because that's the only way you're going to get anywhere with directing. So yeah, get the group shots out of the way so you have those for posterity, and then let kids just be weirdos.
Love it.
That's excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So yeah.
Good question. Good answer.
Yeah.
I love it.
Great.
Thank you. Well, that's a great question. But yeah, it's everything's a little, each session's a little different, but it's really, and even the like shy kids, parents often are like, well, what happens when my kid's like camera shy or isn't feeling it? Or even shy kids, you can, as if you express interest, like genuine care about them, and like you're their friend. You're not there to like just put a camera in their face and be intimidating. Even the shyest kids will come forward and like let down their guard and then be themselves for you. And then also, I love the quiet photos too, that they're not just looking, they're not saying cheese. They're somber, they're pensive, they're like, that's great to capture as well. They're making a weird face, they're upside down. I like the whole range. And if you give them respect for the emotions that aren't always like a smile plastered on their face, and they understand, like kids understand, oh, I can be myself around this person. She's not going to make me fit into some box that I don't want to be in, you know?
That's got to be such a relief for the little ones too, because you know, probably the photo session before that was, you know, stand still, Ryan, you know, we're trying to get the photo.
Yeah. Totally. I hope so. It's like, I want to leave where the kids like me.
Yeah.
It's like,
my own
insecurities. And I'm like, I just want to be loved.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I don't want to make enemies at these shoots. Because I see so many clients time and time again and year after year. I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back to their house and the kids are like, oh God.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
Being lady again. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, my son was newly two. So I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. I hope for the best. And then you worked your magic. And I was like, that went great. It was so relieved.
He was so just so silly. So I love it. Yeah. So much energy. I mean, I just love like playing off the energy of kids is just the best thing to photograph.
Yeah.
Because, adults, they're so self-aware. And they're like, okay, what do I do with my hands? What do
Should
I smile? Should I not smile? And like kids, they don't give a shit. Like,
no, they don't.
You're just gonna, and that's what I love. Like, if we could just take a note from them.
Yep.
Seriously.
You know?
That's funny. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I guess we got to give you the camera question. So it's a two-part question. The first part is the desert island camera. Is there, one camera you can just not live without? It's your ride or die. What's it going to be and why?
Yeah. Oh man, that's a really tough one. I think it's my Canon 1V.
Yeah.
It's just like my bread and butter. It's what I use the most. With the autofocus, and I can use my lenses on my digital and the end result is just, it's 35 millimeter. People are like, you only shoot 35. I generally only shoot 35. I just bought a Pentax 645.
Oh, nice.
To play around with some medium format, but I'm not as comfortable. Again, I'm still learning. The best part of this gig. It's like, I'll never get to a point where I'm like, okay, I've figured it all out. I'm good.
Right.
But right now, that's my baby for every for most shoots.
I mean, those lenses, like, you've inspired me. I have a Canon Elon 7NE. So, and I mean, with kids, I'm like, why, you know, I have my M6. I'm like, I'm going to, you know, I'm not 100% with the zone focusing yet. So, like, honestly, capturing a 2-year-old, that's the camera it's going to be for a while,
luck.
I feel like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the images, I'm always like, damn, these are so good. It's like, you know, the Canon glass, you can shoot a prime, you can shoot a zoom. It's like, that's so good.
Totally.
So good.
Totally. Yeah. I've just been a Canon gal from day one, just because that's what I started. It's not because I have a certain set of beliefs. It's like just what I started with. So that's what what all my lenses are. It's like once you invest in a certain brand, you're kind of stuck unless you just have endless amounts of cash.
Right.
But we're film photographers, so we don't have
nope.
We don't have that kind of money. So yeah, that's been my favorite for the past couple of years.
Legendary camera.
For sure.
It's a good one.
Yeah, legendary.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So part two is the white whale. Is there anything that you've always wanted to shoot or you have your eye on that you're just kind of lusting after that you just haven't had a chance to get yet?
One of my dear family friends, she passed from breast cancer a couple years ago, 2 years ago. She photographed me when I was a kid on film, and I still have these film photos. It's they're one of the few photos I have as a child, like art, like true art.
Yeah.
She was a hobbyist photographer she was just brilliant. Anyhow, her name is Linda. She was in touch when I was in the hospital and sending me like Sally Mann books links to exhibitions that you need to see this when you're out, when you're, you know, in remission. Well, she ended up, she died, I think 2 years ago. And her husband shipped me her Rolleiflex and her just a ton of film, and he had bought it for her. She had always wanted one. He bought it for her for Christmas, and she never got to use it.
Oh.
But when she was sick again, she wanted me to have the camera and the film, and it's like, oh
man,
yeah.
What a story.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cry much.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been sitting in my bedroom and I look at it all the time. It's such a piece of art. It's like, it's an object that I have so much respect for, but I'm also fearing like not doing it justice. But that's my own insecurities that I need to get over and just like start shooting. But that's my next camera that I'm going to just go for it and see what I can create. But I've been so intimidated just because she was so so talented and such an inspiration for me, and it's like I feel like it has her spirit imbued in it. And I for right now I'm just it's just something I'm looking at and it reminds me of her, and it's like I need to break it out. Yeah,
that'll be when the time is right. I feel like that's
absolutely
you'll know when it's
right.
time to create with that. For sure.
Yeah, totally.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, thanks, Chris. Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Mm.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's everything is so precious and so meaningful. And oh my gosh, every day is a gift. And photography just blows that up to the nth degree. I mean, the fact that we can capture these gifts in small, you know, pieces and have some, you know, some reminders of life's greatest moments. It's like we're not saving lives, but we are doing really important work.
Yeah,
yeah, it is. We're enriching lives. I really believe that. It really is.
I mean, it's a gift for us because I always say, like, what do people have? What's somebody else's photography? People who aren't into it, like what? Where's their joy? You know. So I feel very lucky that I found photography when I was in high school, and it's like the one constant thing that stayed with me, and I'm so grateful for it. But I hope that people have their photographies. But it is the point was I was saying, like, it is the work you're doing around the families and I'm gonna cherish those photos you made for us for the rest of my life, like. That moment in time was so important. I was so took my husband. I had to convince my husband, like, we have to do that when he's this little. We have to get it when he's this little. You know, we'll never have that time back. So, you are doing great work, and people. I really appreciate what you do, and I know all your families do too. So
thank you so much. That means so much to hear it from you, being like someone I admire and also a client. I mean, client sounds like such a cold term, but just someone who I've been able to produce work for. That means everything. I mean, I just feel so grateful that, in a weird way, that I've gone through what I've gone through, because I'm coming at this now from such a meaningful state that I don't take anything for granted and I don't take anything lightly, and every opportunity is truly the ultimate gift, whether it's like a 15-minute motherhood portrait session or a 12-hour day on set. It's all like, oh my God, I get to do this. This is wild, and I'm so fortunate, and I'm just going to give it my all because our time here is limited, you know?
So true. Well, Nikki, this has been such an inspiring episode. Thank you for sharing your story. I mean, it's incredible.
Thank you.
Where can everybody check out, plug all the things, all the little, like, cool. Where can we get? All right. Yeah.
NikkiSebastian.com, NICKI. Don't look up NIKKI. That is inappropriate content. That is not me. Oh, that's actually happened before, where they've sent someone sent my portfolio to a client, a potential client, and it was the wrong Nikki.
Oh no!
Oh God!
Yeah.
Jeez.
Anyhow, needless to say, I figured it out pretty quickly that was not the family photographer Nikki. So NICKI Sebastian, at Nikki Sebastian on Instagram, Nick and Max, NIC and Max photo dot C. No, Nick and Max dot C. Oh my gosh, I gotta look up our.
We'll link it too.
I'm sorry, Max. He's like, God, why did I work with this woman? Already failing. Nick and Max photo on Instagram.
Awesome.
What other things? Yeah, I think you got the gist of it.
Fantastic.
Those are the main links.
Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram, Threads, at Timothy Makeups. I have some old YouTube stuff. If you're really feeling about going back into the past, you can go back and watch that stuff. Just go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. Also, timothymakeups.com. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on basically all the socials, I think, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky to grab that one soon, right when social media was being a thing, and I've had people like reach out to me and trying to buy my handle, which is
love
crazy.
That.
Anyway, yeah, Chris B. Photo on all the things, and we are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter. We're newly on Threads, thanks to Timothy, and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram.
Yay.
And yeah, that was it. And Nikki, thank you again.
Thank you. Oh, can I add one more?
Yeah,
of course.
Motherhood Portraits on Instagram. It's just at Motherhood Portraits.
Yes.
It's in my bio, in my main bio, but that's like where I put all those photos. But everything's under my new website, which was designed. I'm gonna plug my incredible designer, Ashley of Smash and Co. Creative. Smash Creative. She created my whole branding, my whole website with all film photos. My site before that had zero film photos, so we did an entire overhaul.
Wow.
It had been like 8-10 years since I last like put anything on the
way.
Web.
Really?
Maybe not that long, but it was years and years.
They were all digital though? I had no idea.
They were all digital.
Wow.
Nothing on my old site was film. So now everything on my new site is all film. There's no digital.
Wow.
So like families, interiors, commercial, editorial.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Ashley, thank you so much. That's all Ashley's vision. I was lucky enough to take photos for her family, and she got to know my work over the years. And so she had a sense of exactly what I was creating, and she knows me. And it was basically like she just pulled out of my brain exactly what I wanted out on the internet and made it. And she's incredible. So she is Smash and Co. Creative. She's brilliant.
Rebrand. That's a someday.
Washington.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. It was a long time coming, and but she made it the most painless process, and it was just such a joy to work with her in that respect.
Amazing.
Well, Nikki, thanks again. Thank you. Again, like I said, this was so inspiring, and
thank you
for sharing all of it. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one, guys. Bye.
All right. First off, Kristen, I would love to thank Nikki for coming on the show. Man, what a great story. You're such an amazing person. Like, so glad we got you on the show. We can't thank you enough for taking the time, and we just cannot wait to see what the future holds for the rest of your career. We're excited. We're rooting for you. Thanks again, Nikki. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights over there, and a bunch of stuff in the archives. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show, and for the patrons that already support the show, guys, we honestly don't know what we would do without you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this week. So we have a fresh batch of episodes ready and lined up for you guys. Sorry we were gone for that little bit of time, but we are back and we're excited, and we'll see you next week with an all-new episode. Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.